It's always for our good, isn't it? And for His glory. If you win your Bibles this morning, turn to John chapter 8, and we are going to resume our theme next Sunday, Lord willing. But this morning we're going to preach on the freedom in Christ, is the title of the message. Freedom in Christ, John chapter 8. John chapter 8, we'll begin reading in verse 31. You're looking at your clocks. If you will give me 20 minutes on the dot, we're going to finish this message up. But don't start your stopwatch. Some of you got your iPhone out and went, okay, boom. Don't let it start beeping in 20 minutes, but we're going to be out on time. Yeah, Brother Clark is flicking his watch. All right. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, I want you to notice that, if you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered Him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. I just want to point this out in case I don't get to it. Here are the Pharisees. Here are this group that Jesus is teaching. He's teaching them in the temple there in Jerusalem. And they brag that we are of Abraham's seed and we've never been in bondage to any man. What a lie. I mean, at that moment He's teaching this, they're in bondage to the Romans. And so I just think it's always kind of funny to me that the Pharisees and those religious leaders of that day and how prideful they were, arrogant. And that's why the Bible says that they were ignorant of God's righteousness, how high it was. And they went about to establish their own righteousness. They were just so conceited and so prideful and so arrogant. So I just wanted to point that out in case we don't get to it. Verse 33, they answered Him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. Verse 36, our text verse this morning, If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this time. Pray that You would help us and guide us today as we preach and as we teach. I pray that we would again see the importance of the freedom we have in Your dear Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Memorial Day is a day set aside to remember the Americans who died in active service. And that's what Webster's Dictionary defines it as, is to remember those who died for their country. Those who died for their homes, those who died for their families, those who died for the people of America. And what a great nation again. We live in the greatest nation on earth. And a great price has been paid in order that we might not be speaking German or that we might not be speaking any other language. I'm glad today for those, and I'm so ecstatic and excited that God allowed me to be born in this great nation. By the way, Acts chapter 17, you look it up. And you may have to read a few verses down. It says that God hath before ordained or appointed the bounds of our habitation and the times in which we would be born. Listen, it's by the providence of God that you were born in America and not in China. And so we ought to give thanks to God for being born in this great land. And so we should never forget that or take it for granted. Yesterday I was listening to the radio and someone just brought it up. It's not so much that we don't recognize, and we do. I think America has gotten very good at recognizing those who died for our freedoms. But I think sometimes we take it for granted. We take it for granted. We really do. We may recognize them, we may talk about it, but we take for granted the price that was paid, the many people. And that's why we had you guys speak about those who have died. Listen, many gave their life for us. There are men and women today who are giving their lives for our freedom. And it's important that we remember that. They died for our freedom. Freedom. The word freedom means enjoyment of personal liberty. It means of not being a slave nor a prisoner. It means enjoyment of personal liberty. I'm glad I'm free today. And I have personal liberty. I'm glad today I'm not a slave nor a prisoner. It means liberty in acting and choosing. I have the freedom to act and choose for my family and even act and choose for my job and act and choose for my home in which I am to live and even the car I am to buy, a Chevy. Immunity. It means immunity or release from obligation. It means, and an undesirable state of being. It means being freed from an undesirable state of being. I'm glad today I'm in a good state of being. I am free. Free. And freedom to choose to serve and to be a part of the church this morning, to be in the services this morning. And what a great freedoms we have in America still. There are many types of slavery. There are many types of slavery. And of course, in recorded history, we have individual groups that have been enslaved and so forth and so on. We have political slavery. America, you know, enslaved to the British Empire at one point. We have communism today. By the way, that's still running rampant. We need to wake up. China is not our friend. Let me say it again. China is not our friend. And our politicians are, a lot of them, a bunch of idiots. And we have more common sense in this room. There's more common sense in a thimble than most of them guys have. Y'all don't mind if I get a little political, do you? It'd be all right? Whew! Man, I feel better already. Slaves to communism and dictators and kingdoms and kings. And today, by far the greatest slavery going on today is socialism. Socialism, we think about communism, but it is socialism that is underlining and undermining the very fabric of America. And I'm telling you this morning, wake up, America. Wake up, citizens of America. You are being socialized. And they are taking away, you say, oh, preacher, you're not supposed to be a politician. Let me just tell you, they are taking away our freedoms little by little. They are taking away our freedoms little by little. They can arbitrarily take land when they want to. They can arbitrarily tell you how to cut your grass and what color paint to paint your home. Hello? They can arbitrarily tell you whether you can send your kids to school or public school or homeschool or whatever the case is. I'm telling you, America. I'm telling you, folks, listen, wake up. Go vote. If you didn't vote in 2012, there's something wrong. In 2016, it's your obligation. It's your Christian duty to vote and be actively involved in voting here coming up in the fall. Be actively involved. Find the politician who lines up with this. And if I had my billfold, I would pull it out and say, we shouldn't find politicians who line up with our billfold. We find politicians who line up with this. I vote for politicians who are in favor of life and not abortion. I vote for politicians who are in favor of saving babies in America. I'm tired of Christians who go out and vote for people who are contrary to this. That's not Christianity. I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to follow His Word, and therefore I'm going to vote for people who are following the Word of God. And by the way, neither side is perfect. It's unbelievable today how the conservative group, and I won't say Republicans because I'm not necessarily a Republican, I'm for the conservative, who lines up with this. And therefore, we need to wake up. Boy, this is my soapbox. I haven't got off of it in a while. I felt good about it. And say, preacher, a preacher's not supposed to get up and be political. I can be biblical. The Bible calls abortion murder. And a politician who will be in favor of abortion is just as much cahoots with everybody else there. And should I touch on it? Being a homosexual is not a civil right. To put them in the same category as the color of somebody's skin is unbelievable. The Bible calls homosexuality a sin. It is a sexual sin. It is not something they are born with. It is something that is inherent in them. I'm not saying that. Maybe something they're inclined to, because we're all sinners. But the Bible makes it clear that homosexuality is a sin. You can get over it. You can go home and have lunch. So to vote for a politician or a compromising liberal president is absolutely unethical, unchristian, unchristian, unbiblical. So, preacher, you got visitors in the house today. I'm sorry. Just put it where the rubber meets the road. Sometimes it's got to be said. By the way, what I've just said someday might get me in trouble. I've just committed hate speech. Because I pointed out a certain section. By the way, we love them. And by the way, we get made fun of this. We're made fun of now because of this statement. We're to love the sinner and hate the sin. Now they're making fun of us for that. Oh, you say that, but da 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 da. No, we love the sinner. We love the sinner. We love the drunk. We want to help them. We love the dope addict. We want to see him come to Christ and have victory in Jesus Christ. America today, I again want to repeat, the greatest country in the earth. We may have our problems, but I'm glad I'm American this morning. And not born in China, not in any other places. There is political slavery. There's religious slavery this morning. Those who are enslaved to a church or a priest or a cult or the occult. There are those who are slaves to self and slaves to the lust of the flesh and those who are enslaved to sin and materialism and trying to keep up with the Joneses. There are those who are enslaved to alcohol and partying and drinking and drugs and pornography. There are those who are enslaved to various things. Many who are enslaved by alcohol at the expense of their own loved ones. Slaves of sin. Here we see Jesus who says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." It says if. Freedom is possible if what? Number one, if you believe. Verse 31 said, "Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on Him." So in the prior verses, verse 23 through 30, I do not have time because I'm going to keep my word that to tell you what all had taken place. But basically, He tells this group of Jews, this group of Pharisees, this group that have gathered here in the temple, He talks to them about who He is. That He is, and I'm summarizing now, that He is the One. They say, well, who's the One? He's the Messiah. And He says to them, look back with me in verse 24, "I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." What does He mean by that? He means those who do not put their trust in Him, those who do not understand who He is, those who do not put their faith believing that He is indeed the Messiah, the One who was to come and take away the sins of the world, those who do not believe in Him and trust in Him will die in their sins. By the way, there are two deaths. There's physical death and there's spiritual death. The Bible says, appointed to man wants to die and after this the judgment. We're all headed down that road of physical death. Then Revelation chapter 20 says, "And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire." This is the second death. There is a second death. The Bible says that we are under God's wrath because of our sins. And the second death is hell, the lake of fire. Jesus is saying to them, listen now. Jesus is saying to them, those who do not believe who I am, those who do not believe that I am indeed the Messiah, those who do not believe that I am sent from the Father and I'm the One that was to come to deliver God's people, to deliver the world from their sins, will die in their sins. And can I tell you today, the same holds true. If today you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, if today you've never put your faith and trust in the Messiah, the Savior of the world, to save you from your sins, you will die in your sins. Jesus made it very clear, in order to be free, He would make you free if you'll simply believe. By the way, John chapter 1, verse 12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the," what? "Sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." That's what verse 35 and 36 are talking about there. It says, "A servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." I'm glad today that at the age of 6 years old, I knelt in my pastor's office and I put my faith and trust in Him as my personal Savior. And I became, at that very moment, at that very instant, I became a child of God. I became a son of God. And listen this morning, at whatever time you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you become a son of God. And therefore, you're no longer a servant, but a son. No longer a slave, but a child of God. Free. What does it say there in verse 35? The servant abideth not in the house forever, but a son, what? Abideth ever. I'm glad today that one day, whether it's by physical death or one day the trumpet sounds, I am going to abide forever in my Father's house. Forever, because I'm no longer a servant, but I am a son. And this morning, I hope that you know that you're a child of the King, that you're a child of God, that you're a son or a daughter of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen this morning, I'm so glad that I'm a part of the family of God, that I've been made freed from the wages of sin. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. And because of Jesus Christ and my belief and trust in Him, I've been freed from the penalty of sin. Freed from the second death. How? By believing and trusting in Jesus. Because of sin, we are all enslaved. All under the penalty of sin. But if the Son shall make you free, you shall be freed indeed. He freed us how? He freed us by His substitutionary death and blood that He shed on Calvary. There was a cost for our freedom. There was a price paid in order that our sins might be forgiven. And that price was paid on Calvary when the God-man hung on the tree and there died for me, shed His blood for me, in order that I might have eternal life. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And I'm glad today I stand before you free. Freed from the penalty of sin. Freed from hell and having a home in heaven. Freed eternally by our Son, by our Lord Jesus Christ. Freedom comes by believing in the Lord Jesus, by repenting of sin. Secondly, not only is there freedom found and from the penalty of sin, but there's freedom from the power of sin. I love that. Verse 1 says, and Jesus said to those that believe. So now, talking to those who believe. If you continue my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'm glad today that Jesus Christ did not stop with just giving us eternal life. I'm glad today the Son of God did not just stop with giving us a home in heaven, but He gave us power here on earth. Power. Power what? Over what? Over sin. Freedom not only from the penalty of eternal fire and damnation in hell, but freedom from the power of sin here and now. I'm glad the Lord loved me and gave His Son for me, who shed His blood for me, not only to give me a home in heaven, but to give me life and to give me life more abundant. To give me a life of freedom. That I don't have to be enslaved to sin. That I don't have to be enslaved to alcohol. That I don't have to be enslaved to homosexuality or any kind of sexual sins. I don't have to be enslaved to pornography. I don't have to be enslaved to a filthy mouth. I don't have to be enslaved to dirty thoughts and bad thoughts. I don't have to be enslaved to bad habits. I don't have to be enslaved to hurtful words and a bad temper. I don't have to be enslaved to sins of this life. But I can have victory over sin in my own life. I can have victory over sin. I can have victory. I don't have to live under sin. I don't have to live enslaved to sin. I don't have to live as a slave to my fleshly appetites. But God will give me victory. How? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Son therefore make you free, you're free indeed. I no longer have to, as a child of the King, as a son of God, as a daughter of the Lord Jesus, I do not have to live a life defeated under the yoke and under the bondage of sin. You see, preacher, you don't understand. I've tried many times to get control over my tongue. I've tried many times to get over control of my temper. I've tried many times to get over control of my fleshly appetites, whatever that might be, bad thoughts, whatever it may be, gossiping or, man, there's a host that we could make a big long list, right? I've tried. I know what I'm doing is wrong. I know when I cuss, I'm wrong. I know when I give into those fleshly urges, I'm wrong. But, preacher, I can't seem to get control of it. I've tried to quit smoking. I've tried to quit alcohol. I've tried to do... nothing works. Well, you need to go to the one that will work. If He'll make you free, you'll be free indeed. And just as you went to the Lord for salvation, and just as He gave you salvation freely, so will He give you victory freely. Just as you received salvation by grace, so you can receive victory by grace. And Christ will empower you. You say, well, how do I do that? You go and ask Him. Well, I've done that before. Well, you haven't quite left it at the altar. You're still hanging on to it. What is the key to it? How am I to have personal victory over the power of sin? Well, verse 31 tells you. If you continue in my word. Listen, Christian, this morning, daughter, son, family of God, you want victory in life? You want victory and power over those things in your life which you know that are not right? Read the book. I know it's simple. It's a cliche. I've heard it many, many times. The sin will keep you from the book, or the book will keep you from sin. But it's absolutely true. You, by the way, God desires a personal relationship with you. And if you will develop a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, He'll give you power over sin in your life. If the Son there shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I'm glad today that I'm free to call God my Father. I'm glad today I'm free to claim the protection of my Heavenly Father. I'm glad today I'm free to claim His promises and provision. I'm glad today I'm free to come to Him with my trials and my grief, and He will answer and help and give me courage and confidence and peace. I'm free to claim all of His promises, knowing He will fulfill every one of them. I'm free to sit down at His table, not as a slave, not as a servant, but as a son. I'm free to enter into the portals of glory one day and walk the streets of gold. What a day that will be. Free, free indeed, by my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Freed from the penalty of sin. There is a penalty to be paid for sin. But Jesus Christ paid that penalty for me in order that I might have eternal life. And then there's freedom from the power of sin. Power of sin. Listen, Christian, you do not have to live a defeated life. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us and gave His life for us. For we can have, He'll give us strength in our time of need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Free. Freedom. Freedom came at a cost. Jesus Christ gave His life in order that we might be free, not only from the penalty of sin, but the power of sin. Are you free this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? The greatest decision you'll ever make in life is accepting Jesus Christ, believing and trusting in Him. Christian, this morning, are you living a defeated life? You don't have to live a defeated life. I did not have time to read, but go home and read Romans chapter 6. Over and over and over again, Paul tells us, you do not have to yield yourself as an instrument of unrighteousness. Jesus said, be holy, for I am holy. We can live holy lives. We can live separated lives. We can live lives that are pleasing to Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I just want to please Him. I just want to love Him more. I want to get to know Him more. I simply want to follow in Jesus' steps and have a personal relationship with Him. Let's all stand. Do you know Jesus? Is Jesus your Savior this morning? If not, I pray this morning you step out of your chair. Take courage and come down the front, and someone here at the front will show you from the Scriptures how you can have eternal life. Maybe again, Christian, you're here this morning and just having a tough time. Maybe it's a trial or something in your life. Maybe a loved one who's passed, or whatever it may be. Maybe you're going to come down and lay that at Jesus' feet. We can have power over the sin in our life. Lord, we thank You this morning, and we know we've been a little rushed this morning, but I pray that You would just convict hearts. God, that You would make very clear, as You did to some of these who were sitting at the feet of Jesus. Most did not believe, but some did. And I pray that there's someone here this morning who've never accepted You as Savior, they might accept You today. Lord, for the son and the daughter, those whom You have accepted into Your family, for those who are living under the bondage of sin, I pray today that You would free them, that they would take courage and accept that grace that only You can give in order to overcome that sin. Thank You for the freedom we have in Your dear Son who gave His life for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 167, I just as I